Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. Big E here. This is episode 90 of the Law for Law Enforcement Officers podcast here in Virginia. And today we're talking about marijuana. It's July 2nd, and it is the new legislative year. So the new statutes for 2023 have gone into effect. And we did have a couple of pieces of legislation that changed the law about marijuana. So I thought it would be a good time for us to talk about what changed in Virginia in 2023 regarding marijuana. Because in some ways, nothing really much changed. But in some ways, a lot of things have actually changed. So let's talk about what is different. But to understand what's different, I think it's worth just quickly reviewing where we are. So marijuana in Virginia, the possession of marijuana, the simple possession of marijuana in Virginia is legal. It is not a criminal offense to have marijuana. In fact, there was a good case from the Court of Appeals in February called Commonwealth versus Spencer that sort of reviewed this issue. This was a case from Virginia Beach where an officer in a hotel parking lot came upon a vehicle, and the vehicle was stopped in the parking lot. The defendant was smoking a marijuana cigarette. He could smell marijuana coming from the car. The engine was running and the car was parked, and the driver admitted she was smoking marijuana, and she said, "All I have is a blunt." And at the time, this was when marijuana was a civil offense. It wasn't a criminal offense. But the officers searched the vehicle based on that odor of marijuana, and the trial court suppressed the evidence. The Court of Appeals affirmed and said, basically, you know, civil offense or whatever, the mere odor of somebody having marijuana when it's them smoking a marijuana cigarette sitting in a car and that's all you have doesn't give you a fair probability the vehicle has other contraband. The mere fact that it's a cigarette alone, she doesn't try to hide the cigarette, there's no furtive movements, she doesn't appear to have any weapons, she's cooperative, doesn't appear there's any other paraphernalia, there's no indication of other drugs. And so the court says there's simply not probable cause to search that vehicle. As far as, you know, DUI, well, in that case, the officer said there was nothing other than the smoking of the cigarette that indicated that the driver was intoxicated. And so the court said, well, in that case, there is not sufficient evidence for, there's not sufficient probable cause to think that you have a DUI there. So again, we're living in a world now where that civil offense is gone. So marijuana is simply legal. And somebody, you know, having just simply having a marijuana cigarette without more is not going to be sufficient to act or do any kind of criminal investigation. So what then is changing in the law this year? Well, you know, there is some change regarding marijuana advertising. We don't have sale of marijuana yet. It was not lawful to sell marijuana in Virginia. There was a plan to do that. It didn't survive the change in the General Assembly. And what's interesting is this year, again, the General Assembly did not come up with a system for lawful retail sale of marijuana. They worked a little bit on how marijuana is sold or dispensed through dispensaries, and that's being expanded or changed a little bit for medical marijuana. So we still have medical marijuana in Virginia. But as a general matter, you can't lawfully go to a store anywhere in the Commonwealth and buy marijuana, at least not without a prescription, or not a prescription, but a recommendation from a doctor that you can use medical marijuana. Nevertheless, the General Assembly this year did pass some restrictions on marijuana advertising. And that's pretty interesting, right? Because what they did was they created a Class 1 misdemeanor for advertising marijuana products, including synthetic or synthetic derivative tetrahydrocannabinol, that it's an offense to sell marijuana products that are not otherwise lawful to sell in Virginia. And there really aren't marijuana products, as we're going to see in a minute, that are lawful to sell in Virginia. So basically, you can't have marijuana advertising right now. There's lots of restrictions on marijuana advertisements for targeting minors, being displayed at sporting events, being misleading, deceptive, or false, referencing the intoxicating effects of marijuana, or promoting any kind of overconsumption or consumption by minors. You know, the kinds of things that we restrict with alcohol advertising as well. That being said, I think what they're doing is kind of laying the groundwork for future sales of marijuana. Right now, It's simply not lawful to sell marijuana in Virginia. We don't have that system. You can grow marijuana. We've talked about this in other episodes. I'm not going to go over it again. You can grow up to 4 plants at your home. If it's in your personal private home, it's a total number of plants, no matter how many people live in the home and so on. And you can share lawfully possessed marijuana with other people up to 1 ounce. But again, the sale of marijuana is not lawful. So nevertheless, this gray market has grown where you have stores that are selling marijuana-like products. And a lot of people ask, how is that possible? How is that legal? And I think it's worth understanding what happened, how this sort of gray marijuana market came about. So in 2018, the United States Congress passed the Farm Bill, which is a bill they pass, you know, all the time. It's a normal bill that covers all sorts of different provisions for, you know, farmers and regarding agriculture and agricultural policy and funding and so on throughout the United States. Part of the 2018 Farm Bill included a provision regarding hemp. So what the 2018 Farm Bill did was it removed hemp, which was defined as cannabis and the derivatives of cannabis with extremely low concentrations of THC, from the definition of marijuana under federal law and the Controlled Substances Act. And it further provided or prevented states from regulating or preventing the sale of hemp, which is to say a cannabis or cannabis derivative that had a 0.3% or less concentration of THC. And so the federal government not only legalized this hemp, which is to say a product that has 0.3% or less concentration of THC, but it basically said that states cannot prohibit the sale of hemp on the grounds that it's marijuana. So Virginia didn't really have a choice. No other state had a choice. They all had to legalize hemp, the production and sale of hemp. And hemp, again, is not really chemically different than what we consider to be marijuana. It is still cannabis or a derivative of the cannabis sativa plant. It's just that the concentration of THC in what we call hemp is 0.3% or less, whereas if it's more than 0.3%, it would still be legally considered marijuana under federal law. And in Virginia, it's going to be the same thing. So we have these two things, hemp and marijuana, and yet, you know, chemically speaking, they're exactly the same. You just have to figure out what the concentration is. That's why it's so hard to come up with a field test to tell the difference between hemp and marijuana, because really you're trying to tell the difference between, you know, two different, I don't know, you know, beers or whiskeys or something like that, simply based on the alcohol concentration, and that can be very difficult. But when we look at the total concentration of THC in a product to determine whether it's hemp or marijuana, traditionally what we've looked for is not just THC in general, but a particular compound called delta-9 tetrahydrocannabinol. And delta-9 tetrahydrocannabinol is only one of the many different THCs or tetrahydrocannabinols that are in marijuana or the cannabis sativa plant. In general, we don't look for, or we haven't been looking for, these other, other tetrahydrocannabinols, but there are other ones, delta 8, delta 10, delta 7. There are other tetrahydrocannabinols that can appear in the cannabis sativa plant. It can appear as THC, but they're not delta 9 tetrahydrocannabinol, which is a particular form of THC. So chemically speaking, if you sent a sample of marijuana to Department of Forensic Science 10 years ago, 20 years ago, or last year, they would be looking for delta 9 THC. And then they would test it and they would say, this product has more than 0.3% THC on a dry weight basis, and and by THC they mean Delta 9, and therefore it's marijuana, or it has less than 0.3%, in which case it's hemp, and it's not illegal to possess or manufacture or whatever, and you move on. So we got to a point, now, for a long time this didn't matter because, you know, marijuana was illegal. And then when hemp came along, the question was, okay, can you produce products that have 0.3% or less Delta 9 THC? And it created this market for, you know, these sort of hemp products. And so you, these CBD oils and all that kind of stuff start showing up. Well, when manufacturers and sellers discovered that the labs were only testing for Delta 9 THC, what they discovered they could do was say, okay, I'm going to revert chemically. I'm going to remove all the Delta 9 THC from this product, but I can have as much Delta 8 or other Delta 10, whatever, THC in the product as I want, because it is in Virginia, we don't test for it. And the definition of marijuana is restricted to Delta 9 THC. So I can produce a product, and as long as it has 0.3% or less Delta 9 THC, if it has 30% Delta 8 THC, who cares? It doesn't matter. It's not illegal. And so a lot of stores, a lot of retailers and manufacturers and so on started selling in Virginia Delta 8, especially THC products, and they could advertise, this has 20% Delta 8, this has 30% Delta 8, and so on. This is a very high THC product. Now, the consumer is going to say, hey, it's high THC, that's great, that's what I want. That's the sort of psychoactive ingredient in marijuana, that's what I want to get. And this market exploded. We can see, you know, just driving down the street, you can see it exploded online, and so on. And certainly we got, you know, lots of calls to poison control and people eating, you know, gummy bears with children, you know, 4 or 5 years old children eating gummy bears that looked like gummy bears, but they were in fact, you know, hemp products, and they had high levels of THC in them, and the kids would be rushed to the hospital and so on. So it became an issue in Virginia. Now, as I mentioned, we had the bill that covered marijuana advertising. And again, that doesn't really have much of an effect. What was really the center of controversy, the center of effort this year, were efforts to limit or control this sort of gray market for high THC hemp products that didn't have Delta 9 THC in them. And that's where we end up with two bills from the General Assembly that end up passing, one from the House and one from the Senate. And these are chapter 744 and chapter 794 of the Acts of Assembly. They're basically almost identical. So they end up being reconciled by the General Assembly, and they take effect for the most part on July 1. There are provisions of it that did not take effect for a while. But the most important thing that this bill does is it redefines what marijuana and hemp is in Virginia. And in Virginia, as of July 1, so as of yesterday, a hemp product is now something that has industrial hemp, it's been processed and so on, and it's offered, and it contains a total tetrahydrocannabinol concentration of no greater than 0.3%. So we're talking about a total concentration. We're going to add Delta 9 along with any other isomer, including Delta 8, Delta 12, Delta 10, whatever, all together, total tetrahydrocannabinol concentration of no greater than 0.3%. And in addition to that, if it's a hemp product, if it's being offered for retail, it has to contain either no more than 2 milligrams of total tetrahydrocannabinol per package. Okay, so in other words, if you have a marijuana brownie or whatever, either has to have no more than 2 milligrams or an amount of cannabinol that is no less than 25 times greater than the amount of total tetrahydrocannabinol per package. So the whole cannabidiol has to be at least 25 times more than the THC in the package. And that's for hemp products that are sold. And so again, we're looking back now, not just at delta 9, but we're looking at any isomer of any isomer of THC. So that means that, you know, no matter how they change around the chemical structure of THC to be the delta 8 version or the delta 10 version or delta 7 version or whatever, it's going to be a total amount. So all of that sort of chemical jockeying or gaming the system, hopefully this is going to circumvent that, it's going to prevent that. And this then means that in Virginia, we're back to where we kind of were in the 2018 Farm Bill, which is to say, very simply, hemp is anything with 2.3% or less THC, and marijuana is anything with 0.3% or more THC. It doesn't solve the problem, of course, of I'm encountering a product, how do I know if it's hemp or marijuana or not? I'm still going to have to get some kind of sophisticated chemical test to do that, but we're not going to have to play the whole delta 9, delta 8 THC thing anymore. So this change to the law is going to also include packaging, labeling, and testing requirements for regulated hemp products that are being sold in the store. And the regulations are pretty significant. So you can't sell regulated hemp products. And that is to say something with 0.3% or less. It's got the right, you know, balance of THC to cannabidiol, or, you know, it's being sold lawfully. But in addition, it has to have child-resistant packaging. It has to have a label that is appropriate, that has the amount of THC in it and the amount of milligrams of THC and so on in it. And there has to be an actual certificate of analysis available for review at the location where the regulated hemp product is being offered for sale. So in other words, you know, a retailer can't say, oh, I didn't know what was in this package. Well, you have to know, you're required to know, because a certificate of analysis has to come with the product and you have to have it on file when you're selling it to say, yeah, I can, you know, I can verify that in fact this is 0.3% or less THC. Now, who's going to be enforcing this, right? This is a big, big question. And the answer is it's going to be the Department of Agriculture in Virginia. And there's a lot of civil penalties attached to this, including civil penalties of up to $10,000 a day for violations. But notably, the violations also carry a Class 1 misdemeanor punishment as well. So in addition to the civil penalty, if you manufacture, offer for sale, an industrial hemp product or food product with an industrial hemp product without getting a permit or violating any of the provisions that I've mentioned here, then you're guilty of a Class 1 misdemeanor. And every day of the violation is a different Class 1 misdemeanor. So again, although the Department of Agriculture is going to be doing these enforcements, it's notable that there is not just civil, but also criminal punishment as well. Now, what if I sell something that's not hemp? In other words, it's less than 0.3%. I sell something that's more than 0.3% THC in it from my store. Well, in that case, what you're doing is you are selling marijuana, right? Because again, if it's more than 0.3%, then it's just marijuana. And one of the things that this bill does is it clarifies in the code that marijuana is, and marijuana has always been, any part of the plant, of the cannabis plant, its seeds, its resin, and any compound manufacture, salt, derivative mixture, seeds, resin, extract, whatever, that's always been how we define marijuana. We, in 2018, clarified that marijuana doesn't include industrial hemp. But here, we clarified in the code that industrial hemp is, again, 0.3% or less total tetrahydrocannabinol. So if I'm selling a product now that is not 0.3% delta 8 THC, it's, you know, 20% delta 8 THC, what am I doing? I'm selling marijuana. And marijuana is still unlawful in Virginia under the same code sections that we've been prosecuting people for decades, you know, 18.2, 248.1, and so on. And the criminal code was also amended to make clear here again that we're talking about total tetrahydrocannabinol. So marijuana doesn't include industrial hemp, but industrial hemp is defined in the code sections I just mentioned. And we're going to look at tetrahydrocannabinol now to include any naturally occurring or synthetic tetrahydrocannabinol, including salts, isomers, salts of isomers, whether it's possible within the specific chemical designation, or if it's somehow mixed or infused with THC. We're going to look at the total tetrahydrocannabinol, the sum after the any kind of conversion factors of the percentage by weight of THC and the percentage of weight of THC acid in the product. So again, if I'm selling a product that's got, 30% delta 8 THC, I'm selling marijuana in violation of 18.2 to 40.1. And we look at the weight of that to determine whether it's a misdemeanor or a felony and so on, the same way that we always have in Virginia. So what that means then is that the Department of Forensic Science had to spend a lot of time figuring out how they were going to test and developing a capacity. And fortunately, they do have a capacity to test for these other THCs. And again, we didn't used to test for them because they didn't naturally occur. If you went looking for THC in a marijuana plant from, decades ago, you would have found a lot of delta 9. You wouldn't really have found much delta 8 because it doesn't naturally occur in the cannabis plant. It only occurs if you mess with the chemical structure of it. Then you're going to find delta 8. Now, the bill also has provisions that govern cannabis oil as well, and also offering for sale synthetic derivatives of THC, and basically prohibits the sale of synthetic derivatives of THC. As far as cannabis oil, there are lawful ways to sell cannabis oil in Virginia that are separate from this, but that's sort of a unique market. And again, cannabis oil doesn't include industrial hemp because you can't regulate industrial hemp. The Farm Bill in 2018 prohibits us from banning industrial hemp. So if I'm selling something that's got less than 0.3% of THC, then that's just hemp. It's not marijuana. But if I have something that I'm selling as cannabis oil, then I can sell that as long as it has no more than 10 milligrams of delta 9 THC per dose. And there are regulations for how I can sell that in Virginia, and that's contained in the bill as well. So what does all that mean really for the patrol officer, right? What does that mean for the investigator? Again, we're in a world where it's lawful to possess marijuana, but there's a lot of restrictions on it. You cannot sell it. You cannot possess in public a certain amount. You can't have more than an ounce. More than 4 ounces is a criminal offense. More than a pound is a felony offense. You can't consume it in public. People under 21 cannot have it. You cannot smoke it while driving a car, that kind of thing. These are all offenses. Many of them are civil offenses. And the question is still out there as to how we're supposed to handle these civil offenses. We don't have a lot of law about this. Can you write somebody a VUS for smoking marijuana in public? 100%. Yeah, definitely you can. What if that person fails to produce ID when they don't identify themselves investigating them for smoking marijuana in public? Well, there's no real answer from that. The code says that person shall be charged by summons. But how do you charge them with a summons if they're not giving you ID? Could you arrest them and bring them to the magistrate? Well, what would you be arresting them for? Would you be arresting for obstruction of justice? Is a good argument. I think that you could be doing that. Could you arrest them, bring them to the magistrate, and then have the magistrate issue the summons once they provide their ID? I think there's a good argument for that as well. But we don't have a court that has said that that's the lawful way to do it, right? How do I issue a summons to somebody who's refusing to identify themselves? Can I lawfully take them into custody and bring them to the magistrate and then have the magistrate figure out who they are or get them fingerprinted, figure out who they are, to them have them released in the summons? These are questions that the General Assembly hasn't answered and the courts haven't answered yet. So, those are areas of the law that remain unanswered. When you encounter a vehicle and you have the odor of marijuana coming from the vehicle, what does that tell you? What does that allow you to do? What kind of legal authority does that give you? Well, the case from Virginia Beach from February which is the Spencer case, makes pretty clear that the mere fact that somebody has marijuana doesn't give you probable cause of anything when you conduct a traffic stop. It just gives you probable cause that they've, you know, same thing would be as if you smell the odor of tobacco, right? I know that they have a product that is legal to have. Now, it is not lawful to sell marijuana, just like it's not lawful for you to sell untaxed cigarettes. So if there's some indication that the person is engaged in the distribution of marijuana, which is an offense, just like, you know, some indication that this person's engaging in the sale of untaxed cigarettes, then, which is also a criminal offense, potentially a misdemeanor or felony, then yeah, I might have probable cause to do some more investigation, but we're going to have more than the mere odor. Not just because the code says that we have to have more than the mere odor, but now because the courts are saying, again, if marijuana is illegal, what does the odor tell you? What does the fact that somebody has a marijuana cigarette tell you? They have a marijuana cigarette. It's lawful to have a marijuana cigarette. You can't smoke it in public, and you might have to give them a ticket for that. You can't smoke it while driving. You might have to give them a ticket for that. But these are civil offenses. Does it give you an indication of some more offense, some further offense? What's interesting, I think, about the Spencer case from February is that it also points us in the direction of what might provide more information or a justification for further investigation. So, for example, one of the things that the court talks about here is that the defendant was not in a high crime area. She did not try to hide the cigarette. She didn't make any furtive movements. She didn't appear to have any weapons, and she was cooperative with the officer. So if you look at the alternative, what if she were in a high crime area and did try to hide the cigarette? She made furtive movements, which indicated that she either had weapons or more drugs in the car, and she was not cooperative with the officer. There, would there be probable cause to believe that there was more in the vehicle? And remember here, if she's smoking marijuana in public, that's a civil offense. And there is a case, called Jones versus Commonwealth from the city of Charlottesville back in 2002 that talks about somebody who had an open container alcohol and they hid that open container inside of a duffel bag when an officer approached. And the court in that case said, well, the officer could look in the duffel bag to retrieve the evidence of the offense, which is to say the open container, even though that was a, class four misdemeanor, had to be released on a summons, because the person had hid the evidence of the actual offense itself. So here, if the defendant had hidden the cigarette, the officer could go and look for the cigarette, certainly. And then the question is, how much further could the officer go? Could the officer continue to search the vehicle after finding the marijuana that she hid? You know, that's an unanswered question. The court doesn't say that you can. The court doesn't say that you can't. It's an open question we need to have resolved. And the last thing that the court in the Spencer case sort of didn't really deal with was, what if you have probable cause the person's intoxicated? Here, the fact that the officer smells marijuana, the court says, is not enough to indicate intoxication. And that's different than alcohol, because obviously in Virginia, if you smell the odor of alcohol, that's basically probable cause the person's intoxicated, if you smell the odor of alcohol from their person. But here, the mere fact of the odor of marijuana didn't give the officer justification to conduct a DUI investigation. But I think you certainly, if you are encountering somebody who's potentially impaired or who has other indications other than the odor, not only does the law require you to have more than just the odor, odor alone is not enough to conduct an investigation, but the courts are going to require you to have something more. And so if you have other indicia, including driving behavior, that the person's intoxicated, then you may have reason to conduct a further investigation, a DUI field investigation. And certainly if we're going to have more consumption of marijuana in Virginia, we're going to have more marijuana-related impairment. So that's something to train up on and learn what that looks like and how to identify it and how to investigate it. So that's sort of the state of where we are July 1, how the law has changed in Virginia regarding marijuana. I hope today was helpful. Hope you thought it was interesting. If you like the podcast, tell your friends. I will try this summer. Thank you guys for bearing with me on my summer vacation. It was nice to get away, but it's nice to get back as well. And I will try to get on Spotify. There was a desire to get on Spotify, so I'm going to give that a shot this summer. We're on Stitcher Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and of course on SoundCloud. If you don't like the podcast, don't tell your friends. But for me today, that's all from me. That's all from Big E. Stay safe and don't get captured.